Good evening. Big welcome to Forest Fold. Welcome here. Welcome online. Good to have you with us. And it's good to meet, to worship God. I'm whistling a bit. Thank you. Do stay for tea and coffee afterwards. Be lovely to have you hang around for a bit. That's after the service. Well, let me start with a verse from Revelation. Listen in to part of the worship of heaven, and it says this: "Worthy are you, our Lord and God, to receive glory and honor and power, for you created all things, and by your will they existed and were created." Our first song really asks, who is this God? What is he like? Is there anyone like him? Is there anyone to be compared with him? And the answer is so clearly no. He's the one and only. There is no one like our God. Let's stand and sing. God in heaven, we bow before you, the living God. It is a miracle that we can approach such glory, such majesty, such power. We're here for such a short time. We are bound by our great limitations and weakness. We're snuffed out so quickly. And yet you are the God who reigns from east to west and north to south, from eternity past to present to eternity in the future. Lord, there is no one like you. And this whole world with its billions of people owe their existence and sustenance to your mercy, your power, and your kindness. Lord, we pray that you will give us a greater, a far greater, expansive, comprehensive view of the greatness of our God. We're so taken up with the things that we can see here and now, in our short lives. And we can just be blind to the greatness of God and what he is doing, and that our lives belong to him. And so, Lord, this evening we come together to worship you. We bow before you as the sovereign Lord. We surrender everything that we are and that we have, our opinions, our views, and we bring them all underneath the authority of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what it is for us to call you our Lord. And Lord, we bow low, at least in our hearts, because everything we have has been given by you. And we find ourselves in a place where we have broken the rules out of rebellion of this great God that we have come to worship. Oh Lord, we pray that you'd help us to understand the seriousness of that. Our God is a consuming fire. He is holy, as we've just been singing. He is the one and only. And yet, in amazing grace, you've offered your Son. And Lord, we thank you for that. You've called us your children as we've been accepted into your family, so that we could be forgiven, so that we could be justified in the sight of that holy God. So Lord, we come this evening, as we come to worship, as we come to learn from your word, we pray that we will give you the honor that you deserve, that our hearts will be open to your word and obedient to it, and that our hearts too will overflow with gratitude for the mercy and the grace that you've shown to us. Amen. Well, James is going to come and do our first Bible reading. Thank you, James.
Our reading comes from 2 Peter, and it's chapter 1, verses 1 to 15, which is page 1018 in the Church Bibles. Chapter 1, verse 1. Simeon, Peter, a servant and apostle of Jesus Christ, to those who have obtained a faith of equal standing with ours by the righteousness of our God and Saviour Jesus Christ. May grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. His divine power has granted to us all things that pertain to life and godliness, through the knowledge of him who called us to his own glory and excellence, by which he has granted to us his precious and very great promises, so that through them you may become partakers of the divine nature, having escaped from the corruption that is in the world because of sinful desire. For this very reason, make every effort to supplement your faith with virtue, and virtue with knowledge, and knowledge with self-control, and self-control with steadfastness, and steadfastness with godliness, and godliness with brotherly affection, and brotherly affection with love. For if these qualities are yours and are increasing, they keep you from being ineffective or unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. For whoever lacks these qualities is so nearsighted that he is blind, having forgotten that he was cleansed from his former sins. Therefore, brothers, be all the more diligent to confirm your calling and election. For if you practice these qualities, you will never fall. For in this way there will be richly provided for you an entrance into the eternal kingdom of our Lord and Saviour, Jesus Christ. Therefore, I intend always to remind you of these qualities, though you know them and are established in the truth that you have. I think it right, as long as I am in this body, to stir you up by way of reminder, since I know that the putting off of my body will soon be, as our Lord Jesus Christ made clear to me. And I will make every effort so that after my departure, you may be able at any time to recall these things.
Thank you, James. We're going to sing again now. And the Christian life is is one of becoming more like Jesus in our outlook, in our attitudes, in our character, in our lives. And this is really a prayer, Lord, help me to be more like Jesus. And it goes through lots of different ways in our lives. We need more faith, we need more joy, we need more purpose in our praying. And it goes through the song. So let's stand and sing this and pray together. We had a helpful update from James this morning about their sabbatical, and we prayed for them this morning. We're going to pray again. I just wanted to share a verse from Deuteronomy, which I hope will be an encouragement to you. Moses is handing over to Joshua, and he speaks to the whole of the Israelites, and then he takes Joshua aside in front of all the people, and he says this. It is the Lord who goes before you. He will be with you. He will not leave you or forsake you. Do not fear or be dismayed. I think that's a great encouragement for us, special encouragement for you. And as the plane leaves our land here, remember that God is already there. He's gone ahead of you. And he's there and he has all the power and the strength that you'll need when you land. And also remember, too, that as you take up the strain of pastoral responsibilities, as you take on the big burden of preaching and all the different situations that you go back into, you're always second on the scene because God goes before you and he's there and he has the strength to give you. And I'm sure that was a great encouragement for Joshua with the giants and the task he faced. And maybe you feel the same, but this is what God says to him, and we can take this for ourselves because God is with his people. It is the Lord who goes before you. He will be with you. He will not leave you or forsake you. Do not fear or be dismayed. So let's pray. Lord God, help us as we continue to pray. We have so much to thank you for. We are so thankful for the YP holiday. We're thankful, Lord, that you blessed their time away, for keeping them safe, for the great time they've had. Thank you for the leaders who worked so hard before that and during the time to provide such great fun and enjoyment and faithful teaching from your word. Lord, we thank you for a safe journey home yesterday. And we pray that, especially for leaders who are back to work tomorrow, that you'll strengthen them and that they will look back over this past week with great thankfulness, as I'm sure they do, at your help at answered prayers. And Lord, we pray that the seed of your word won't be snatched away from people's hearts, but that it will be planted deep. It will begin to grow and bring forth life-transforming fruit. Lord, we thank you that your word is powerful, and our responsibility is to sow the seed, to water it, to encourage it. Lord, you're the one who gives life, and we come helpless in that respect to you and ask that your Holy Spirit will bring life-transforming life into our young people. For those who are Christians, we pray that they will be encouraged, built up in their faith, ready to stand for God and to be all in, as we were thinking this morning, to be wholehearted, single-minded in following Jesus. So accept our thanks for your kindness once again this year. And Lord, as we pray about Camp 2 coming up, we pray for all the leaders who are preparing for that. And we ask that you'll give them the energy and the strength that they need. We especially pray for Noah and Mark as they've just been leading on YPs. Oh Lord, enable them and strengthen them. Lord, we pray that you'd provide all their needs for that week. We pray, Lord, too, that you'd be preparing the hearts of the children who are coming on that week to receive your word too. And Lord, we pray your blessing on every part of that. Thank you for our church family here. And we're so pleased to hear Tom and Emily's engagement. Lord, we pray you'll bless them during this time. You'll guide them in all the plans and things to think about in weddings and life together going forward. We ask that you'll bless them at this time. We pray for those who are lonely and finding life really tough and hard. We thank you for the community of the church family. We pray that those who are perhaps on the fringes of that community will be blessed by being part of this church. Lord, sometimes our loneliness runs deep through loss and pain and to a place that people can't really reach, but your word can and your love can and your strength and your presence can. So Lord, bless those, we pray. Lord, for those who are feeling thankful, what a great blessing that is to go through times of joy. We pray that we'll be an encouragement to others who are low. We pray that we'll be an encouragement to those who don't know you, that something of the light of the gospel will shine out to those, our neighbours, those we work with, in our families. Oh Lord, make us a blessing to others if we're Christians. Lord, make us like light in a dark place. Make us like preserving salt in a decaying, perishing world. Lord, we pray again this evening for James and Rachel. We're so thankful that their sabbatical could happen and for the many blessings that they've received during that time. We pray that the effects of this time will be lifelong in some ways, but certainly will be a great help to them going forward and returning. Lord, we pray that they will be greatly encouraged through the time they've had. And Lord, as they return in a little while, we just pray that they will really, really have that knowledge that you go before them. You're with them now, and you go before them, and that you can provide for all that they need. And as many of us Christians in our lives, we can look back and see how you've answered prayer, how you've helped us in whatever those situations were, and it strengthens our faith because we can trust in you, and we've proved your faithfulness, your kindness, and your help. And Lord, that does us so much good as we think ahead to the mountain still to climb. We pray, Lord, for the church leadership in that church. Thank you for the new deacons that were added a while ago. Lord, we pray that they will settle in well and be a great help to James and Rachel, to the church. We think of Andrew and getting older, and Phil, so unwell. Lord, we commit them to you. We commit the church to you that new leaders will come up through to be people who will be established there for a good period of time. We'll have a heart for serving in that locality, in that church. Oh Lord, we just thank you that as Forestfold, as Lefkosia Church, as all your true church, it is all belongs to you, and we look to you to provide for our individual needs and for the needs of leadership. So Lord, do support James and Rachel. Give them your strength, we pray. Especially help them during this time of year and the heat. Oh Lord, help them with that. Help them to trust in you. Bless Noah, Leah, and Jacob back here. And we ask that you'll bless them as they are apart. So Lord, we come to you this evening and we pray that as we come under your word again, that as Christians we'll be open to be changed. When we look inside our hearts, we see so much that needs changing. We need your wonderful grace to create in us a clean heart, a heart that loves God wholeheartedly. And we're going to be encouraged to add to our character, to our faith this evening. Lord, help us to be open to change in our lives that will make us more like Jesus. We pray that you'd help us identify the things in our lives that are leading us away from you or that are weakening our Christian lives, that we'll have the humility and grace to repent of sin and such a love for you that we'll obey whatever you say because we know that your will is good for us. Oh Lord, help us. We feel that we are in a battle and we need your help daily. We thank you for your restoring grace that we were thinking of this morning. We thank you that there is hope for failures. Lord, what a great God you are. You do not cast us off. You do not treat us as our sins deserve. You are slow to anger, quick to be merciful, and full of steadfast love. What a great God we have. And Lord, help us to respond appropriately in love and commitment to you. Lord, bless any here who have doubts about their own Christian lives. Lord, I pray that the fact that they're concerned about that might be an encouragement to them, that there is your work going on in their hearts. But I pray you'll bring them to a point where their questions cease and where they have that full trust in Jesus Christ and in his promises, not in their performance, not in how they feel they stand before God, but to know the joy of your salvation, to know it running deep into their soul. Oh Lord, bless them, we pray. And for those who do not know you, oh Lord, we ask that you will shine your light into their hearts to see their need of Jesus. Run to him while it is still the gospel day. Amen. We've got another reading now, and we're in 2 Peter and chapter 3, which is page 1019 in the Church Bible. And we're going to read verse 14 to the end. We start with a therefore, so just very, very briefly. Peter's just been talking about the day of the Lord, and it is coming. Things will be dissolved by fire and heat, but we're looking, waiting for a new heaven and a new earth. Therefore, beloved, since you are waiting for these, be diligent to be found by him without spot or blemish, and at peace, and count the patience of our Lord as salvation, just as our beloved brother Paul also wrote to you, according to the wisdom given him, as he does in all his letters when he speaks in them of these matters. There are some things in them that are hard to understand, which the ignorant and unstable twist to their own destruction, as they do the other scriptures. You, therefore, beloved, knowing this beforehand, take care that you are not carried away with the error of lawless people and lose your own stability. But grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Saviour, Jesus Christ. To him be the glory, both now and to the day of eternity. Amen. Well, before John comes to preach, we're going to sing one more song, which is a great song before a sermon, asking God will open up our eyes to see the truth of his word. Let's stand and sing.
I feel this could be a good message for us this evening, for the YPs coming off the holiday. So glad it went well. Glad to have you here. Some of you might be a bit bleary-eyed with tiredness, but I think this could be good for you. So I hope it's helpful. For the rest of us, as we think about our lives, I think this could be a good passage. It's a passage which could affect us for many days and years to come. It could have a big effect if it takes root in us. The main phrase is in verse 5. I've called it in the title, Add to Your Faith. We're in 2 Peter chapter 3. Add to your faith. In our translation, the ESV, it's supplement your faith. But many of the translations translate it add, which is an adequate and a good translation. I think easier to get hold of. Add to your faith rather than supplement your faith. Add to your faith. So that's the main message this evening, is add to your faith. Grow. Go forward and progress. Don't go back. Don't even just stay as you are. Add to your faith. It's summarized nicely in the last verse of the letter. We had that just read. So I'm darting to the end of the letter, and it says this: But grow in the grace and the knowledge of our Lord and Saviour, Jesus Christ. Now, we like adding, usually, most of us, growing, supplementing. We're pleased if we add a bit to our bank balance, and that's higher than it was. That's quite nice, isn't it? We like adding in that way. Maybe we like adding qualifications and training, and we can think we're building up our CV, making it easier for us to get a job. Perhaps we like building up experiences and travels. Maybe you're one of these people with a map, and you can sort of coin off the different countries that you've been to, and maybe you're adding a few. That's very nice. Perhaps we like adding to our popularity. If the likes go up on some of the things we do, that's encouraging, maybe. Maybe we're a collector. Are you collecting things? And you add to your collection. It's quite nice for it to grow. Well, can I ask, what do you want to add spiritually? Do you want to add spiritually? Does the title interest you? I don't know if you caught the title. I don't know if it was on the notice board this morning, I think it was on the bulletin, and you saw it, add to your faith. And you think, sort of count me in. I'm intrigued. I want to know. This is a subject that interests me. This should be good this evening. Topic's good anyway. Add to your faith. Faith comes twice in this passage. It's good to notice. If you've got it open, you might see the other one nearer the start. We're just in verse 1 with the other mention. Those who have obtained a faith of equal standing with ours. God had given these people faith. And that faith was a valuable thing. It's translated here, faith of equal standing. It's often translated a faith of equal value. Or in the older version, it's like precious faith. So I think there is an emphasis on the value of the faith that we have. If you have obtained faith, if God has given you faith, that's a very valuable thing. Hugely valuable. If you have faith in Jesus as Saviour, if you're trusting in Him alone for forgiveness, if you're realising you cannot save yourself, but your trust is in Jesus Christ, that's a very special thing. And that's one of the mentions of faith here. It reminds me of Ephesians 2 and verse 8. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not your own doing. It is the gift of God. You have that faith? Have you obtained faith? Do you trust in Jesus? Perhaps recently? Maybe yonks ago? That's great. This evening's message, though, is add to it. Add to it. Don't let it be on its own. Let other things come out of the faith you have in Christ. Sometimes said, justification, being right with God, justification is by faith alone. But justifying faith doesn't come on its own. So when we have trust alone in Christ, there's other things which then occur in our lives, or should do. There are other things which grow out of it. We shouldn't be sort of stationary. So I want us to be helped in thinking about that this evening, adding to our faith. And maybe you're wondering, well, what's in this passage about this? Because actually I'm quite interested. I have faith in Christ. I want to add to it. And I want to know what this passage is teaching about. Well, we'll carry on then. And we're going to look at five aspects from this passage about adding to our faith. And here's the first. Add to your faith, add by the resources God has given. Add by the resources God has given. Sometimes you buy things, don't you? And there's a bit of self-assembly involved. You have to put things together. But if it's a good quality product, it will give you all you need in the box. And you'll have an inventory, and there'll be the different sorts of screws that you need, and maybe the wood glue if that's what it involves, and perhaps some wood pegs if it's that sort of thing, or some washers, or some hinges. It's all provided for you. You don't have to pop to Screwfix for something extra. You don't have to rummage around your shed for extra things. It's all provided with the product in the box. Well, in looking to grow, God has provided what we need. Peter says in verse 5, for this very reason, make every effort to add to your faith. And Peter has in mind what he's just said, which is in verses 3 and 4. And see how it ties in with this point. His divine power has granted to us all things that pertain or belong to life and godliness, through the knowledge of him who called us to his own glory and excellence, by which he has granted to us his precious and very great promises, so that through them you may become partakers of the divine nature, having escaped from the corruption that is in the world because of sinful desire. God's power is provided for you to grow, to add. The Holy Spirit, believer, is at work in you so that you might grow and you might add to your faith. God has provided these things. God's promises, which are referred to here, expect growth. If you like, growth is the pattern for the Christian. You are being made more and more like God, that you may become, it says, partakers of the divine nature. This is the ultimate aim of God for you. It says in Romans 8, such great verses in Romans 8, but here tucked in amongst it, verse 29, for those whom he foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his Son. His plan, his promises are for you to be like Jesus. That is the general pattern. That is the general direction. That is where the promises are heading. And that is the power that is given. So God has provided the resources for there to be growth, for us to add to our faith. Christians should be growing. Well, you may say, well, what's the main ingredient that helps us? And it's good to get a hold of this. This is very important. And it's in verse 3. His divine power has granted to us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of Him who called us. The key ingredient, if we can put it that way, is knowing God better. Is knowing more of our Lord and Saviour, Jesus Christ. Yes, knowing the truth about Him, but knowing in the Bible is more than just head knowledge. It's a warmth to it. It's a relationship. It is personally knowing better the Lord. It's so key to growth. See how significant it is in the letter, just in the passage we've read. I don't know if you noticed it was in there more than once, this idea of knowledge of Jesus. Verse 2, notice it. May grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. We've seen it in verse 3. Through the knowledge of Him who called us to His own glory and excellence. Cast your eyes down a bit further. Verse 8. Keep you from being ineffective or unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. And then our summary verse, very end of the book. But grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Saviour, Jesus Christ. So if I can put it like this, you don't need to go far in your concern for growth. You don't need to travel the globe in looking to grow as a Christian. You don't need to climb Everest. It's in the box. God has provided it, and it is knowing the Lord better. It is being more aware of the Lord Jesus Christ, being closer to Him. John prayed, notice what he was praying about, praying that we might have an expansiveness in knowing God better, in His greatness and His grace. It's very much in line with this. It's being saturated with the gospel. It is. Growth is about being saturated with the gospel and letting it live through you. This is the resources that God has provided. I gave one of the YPs a few weeks ago a book called Living the Cross-Centered Life. Living the Cross-Centered Life. And that sums up quite a lot of what it's about. It's knowing what Jesus has done and knowing it more personally and better and being refreshed in it and letting it live out in our thoughts about ourselves and our thoughts and about others. It is knowing the Lord Jesus Christ better that leads to growth. So many aspects of the Christian life are just about outworking what Jesus has done. This is a big theme in the New Testament. We can't trace it now, but I can just get you thinking. Can you think of what knowing Jesus better produces? Knowing Him better, being more aware of what He has done and who He is. What does it do? What does it produce? Well, generosity. You can stake a claim for that in the New Testament. Love. Forgiving spirit. Endurance. Humility. Respectfulness. Being more servant-like. And there's just six or seven for starters. So, add to your faith by the resources God has given His power, His promises, and especially knowing Jesus better. If we go a bit further in the passage, we can see that it teaches us that we should add with effort. Add with effort. So we cannot earn our salvation by our efforts. I hope you're very clear on that. A lot of people go wonky on that, and it's a very serious area to go wonky on. We cannot earn our salvation by our efforts. It's faith alone, in Christ alone, by grace alone. But looking to grow as a Christian does involve effort. See verse 5. For this very reason, make every effort to add to your faith. And jump to verse 10. Therefore, brothers, be all the more diligent to confirm your calling and election. And Peter knew about it because he was trying to help these Christians to grow, and he was going to be involved with some effort. And that comes out in verse 15. And I will make every effort so that after my departure, you may be able at any time to recall these things. He was going to write things up for them. So there is effort. We need to pick a careful line here. So the Christian life is not about frenzied, legalistic activity. It's not about trying to prove ourselves. If we know Jesus and the gospel, it doesn't produce these things. They're out of kilter. And yet there is an effort to take growth seriously. We should be making every effort to add to our faith. Now, it took me back in this way. I guess those on the YP holiday, I guess there was sports games played during the week. And I think back to some of the times when I was on camps, holidays, and some of the sports that we played. Football tends to stay in my mind just the way I'm wired. I'm thinking of some of these games, and there are some on the pitch, and they're chatting to each other. And they've forgotten which team they're on. And they run away when the ball comes towards them. And they don't break into a sweat through the whole of the match. And they don't know whether they've won, and they don't care. And there are others. And it is so different. And their hearts are in it. And they're running. And they're tracking back. And they're encouraging the others, if not bossing them. And they put in a shift. And they're motivated. Now, I'm not too worried how you play games. That's not a big issue. But when it comes to your Christian life, are you sort of chatting in the corner? You don't really know which side you're on. Not really sure of the score. Sort of running away as the ball's kicked to you. Or are you keen to progress? Is it a serious business to you? Are you making every effort to add to your faith? Well, how will that be shown? Make every effort to add to your faith. Well, there's different ways, a whole host of ways. But you will think about growing, won't you? It will be a concern of yours. You'll want things that might help you to grow. You'll read your Bible thoughtfully and prayerfully, I imagine, if you're making every effort to add to your faith. I expect you'll have an appetite to be at some services which will help you. You may talk to or message other Christians to be mutually encouraging. You may be keen to make sure that other things don't sort of overcrowd your interest in Christ, and so other aspects of your life which are there and enjoyed have their place. If you have things that you know are failings, the old life, the former life it talks about here, the things you used to do and you think that shouldn't be part of my life now, and you're not content and you're wanting to address them, and you're thinking this has got to change because it's not consistent, and you're making every effort to add to your faith. That's what Peter tells us to do. Add with effort. He carries on, or we could say, add these qualities. Add these qualities. So what are we to add to our faith? Well, it talks of specific qualities. You see the phrase, these qualities, in the passage? If you can see it in a verse, shout out the verse. That helps us all to concentrate. These qualities, where do you see the phrase? Verse 12, thank you. Verse 8. Verse 10. and verse 9. I've got four. Yeah, those are the four I've got. So if you found another one, that's good. I only saw four. These qualities. Well, what are these qualities that they are to add? Well, they're listed out for us in verses 5 to 7. So I'm going to read them through slowly. For this very reason, make every effort to supplement or add to your faith virtue. And add to virtue, knowledge. And knowledge with self-control. And self-control with steadfastness. And steadfastness with godliness. And godliness with brotherly affection, and brotherly affection with love, or if these qualities, etc. So they're the qualities that he's talking about. Maybe you understand them all. Maybe some words are not so clear. Virtue. Virtue. That really is a summary word of everything that's excellent in character. Add that to your faith. Maybe steadfastness is a bit of an unusual word for you. Steadfastness is perseverance or endurance. It's keeping going. Godliness. Don't hear many people talk about godliness when you go around Tesco's, do you? Godliness. What's godliness? A practical awareness of God in everyday life. And there's two love ones. One seems to be especially to do with how we are towards other Christians, a brotherly love. And then that wonderful love which is sacrificial and perhaps more general beyond those who are Christians. And that's what it finishes with. And we need all of them. We need all of them to be added to our faith. Sometimes when you're buying things online, you get some add-ons, don't you? You get some extras which you can choose. And often you don't want them, and often we're pretty wise not to buy them because they're usually sort of trying to cream in the money with things that you don't really need. But sometimes they are all good. Maybe there's a down the bottom, there's a sort of click, tick all, whole package. And you click that, I want all of the above. Well, it's like that with these. It's all of them are things that we should be adding to our faith. Well, it's no good saying, I want to be a loving person. I just feel that would be a really good thing. But, you know, I don't want to control my temper or my sexual passions or my tongue. We need all of them. It's no good saying, well, I want to be self-disciplined and make sure that everything is sorted out in my life and I attend everything and do everything. But I don't care about others. Not too much for softies. It doesn't matter if I'm rough with them, but I'm self-controlled. We need to grow in all of these aspects. Seven extras, that's what I count. You have faith and then you add seven things to it. You supplement seven things to it. It's good when what we learn on Sunday goes through the week. So I throw this out to you. Maybe you want to take one of those seven each day this week and just pray through it. Ask that the Lord would help you to grow in that particular quality. These are the qualities which we are to add to our faith. Then in urging them to add to their faith, he gives a couple of further reasons to spur them on. And we'll cover them as our last 2 points. Here's the next. Add to be fruitful. Add to be fruitful. Now, I was telling our midweek prayer meeting, I think it was about 10 days ago, of the disappointment down the bottom of our garden. In recent weeks, we have been disappointed down the bottom of our garden. Our nice plum tree In fact, the nice plum tree which you gave us was wilting, and the emerging plums were shriveled and shrinking. And we're going to have no plums from the plum tree this year. And it's a disappointment. We're hoping that pruning and the good stem that is left will change the story for coming years, but that's not this year. This year is disappointing. There's no fruit. And it's possible to be like that as a Christian, to be a low-fruit Christian, or even perhaps a no-fruit Christian. That would be very strange if it's an ongoing thing. And Peter doesn't want those he's writing to be like that. And the Lord doesn't want that for you and me, Christian. He doesn't want that for you and me. Let's read verses 8 and 9. For if these qualities are yours and are increasing, they keep you from being ineffective or unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. For whoever lacks these qualities is so nearsighted that he is blind, having forgotten that he was cleansed from his former sins. He doesn't want them to be ineffective and unfruitful. He doesn't want them to be, if you like, a disappointment. And it won't be if these qualities are there and if they're growing and increasing. For if these qualities are yours and are increasing. What a joy it is to have fruitful Christians. It may be thinking this way, that if I can get you to be a bit pictorial, it's as if this evening in here we have a bunch of plum trees. We have a bunch of plum trees. And some of the plum trees, I'm talking people, some of the plum trees are full of fruit. Some of you are full of fruit. And others are not so. Others are low fruit, or possibly even no fruit. I wonder which you are. I wonder which I am. I have to think about this personally. Praise God for the full ones, and have some concern at the struggling, more shriveling fruit ones. These plum trees, though, if you like, are not just here this evening. They are, if you like, around our town, because we in our lives are mixing with others at home and in work and in our life generally. And it's one thing just to have a poor physical plum tree down the garden, but it would be a sad thing if that was the case dotted around the town. In the cul-de-sacs and the schools and the offices of the town, there were lots of us that were very unproductive, unfruitful plum trees in terms of our spiritual fruitfulness. But on the contrary, how exciting, how wonderful, how encouraging, how good if around the town, in the offices, in the schools, in the cul-de-sacs, there are plum trees which are very fruitful and honouring the Lord with their lives and being a real blessing to those around them. So add to your faith to be fruitful. To be fruitful. And then lastly, add to be encouraged. Add to be encouraged. I think that's probably a reasonable way to summarise verses 10 and 11. I don't know if you think so. Here's what it says, verse 10 and 11. Therefore, brothers, be all the more diligent to confirm your calling and election, For if you practice these qualities, you will never fall. For in this way there will be richly provided for you an entrance into the eternal kingdom of our Lord and Saviour, Jesus Christ. So Christians are called. That's what we call the effectual call, God's work by his grace stirring us to life. And that's because they are elected, elected by his wonderful and conditional love, calling and election, verse 10. We have a lavish future ahead of us with a very big welcome ahead of us. And the message here is that the way in which we live or encourages us to live in a way which shows that that is very obvious. And it will encourage you and others. When a fruit tree is full of fruit, most people can identify it. So if I picked off one of those leaves, perhaps I should have done that. There's still some leaves on it. If I'd have come up and said, "Tell me what leaf is this?" There's a few smarties around who would have said, "Yeah, that's a plum tree leaf, but I guess it's less than 5%. If I get you to look at the branch, you've got quite a big branch there, so you just concentrate on the twig bit. And if I said, "What is this?" I don't suppose many people would be saying, "Yep, it's a plum tree branch." But if I was to say, with the fruit on it, "What is that bush? What is that tree?" I guess over 80%, maybe not all of us are so sure, but I guess over 80%, wouldn't you, would say, "But that's plum, because it's just obvious. The fruit shows that it's a plum tree." And when we are fruitful in our Christian lives, it encourages others and it encourages us. It shows where we belong and it shows where we are heading. A fruitless life leads to uncertainty and complication and hesitancy. You might say, "Well, I thought she was a Christian, but not quite. I hope he is a Christian, but I'm not quite sure." But where there's fruit and abundant fruit and lots of fruit, it's just obvious. Belongs to Christ, heading for Christ, loved by Christ. And so it gives us an extra reason to add to your faith, because it will be a source of encouragement to you and a source of encouragement to others. So I have said at the start that I hope this would be good for YPs. I hope you don't mind me picking you out. There's a lot of you. It's a big group, so fair enough, I think. Coming back off a holiday, encouraged, blessed, I hope. Make every effort to add to your faith as you go forward. But it's not just a YP message. None of us are past hearing this. So if you're a non-YP, the message to you this evening is the same. Make every effort to add to your faith. Well, let's have a moment's quiet just to pray and respond personally before we sing our last song. Well, let's sing together our final song. It's a prayer for our daily lives. "As morning dawns and day awakes, to you I bring my need." Let's stand to sing.
"As morning dawns and day awakes, to you
Now may the God of peace, who brought again the dead from the dead, our Lord Jesus, the great shepherd of the sheep, by the blood of the eternal covenant, equip you with everything good, that you may do his will, working in us that which is pleasing in his sight, through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory for ever and ever. Amen.